Welcome to the Travelling Senorita, episode 194. I am lucky enough to be out and about in country Queensland in the Granite Belt. My first stop has been wine, and more wine, which is something that I absolutely love and something that I miss living in Northern Rivers because we don't do wine. Having grown up on the Mornington Peninsula, we did a lot of wine, and I tend to chase stories across the globe that are all about wine. To learn that just over the border from where I live is a wine region that is really making waves and has been doing for a couple of decades now, or even longer. But I've just found it, which is means that I will be able to order all my wine very close to the Tyrrell that I already live. So today I'm going to be talking to the owner of Ridgemill Estate. It's Martin and Michelle, but today I've got Martin Cooper with me. Hello, Martin.
Good morning.
How are you?
I'm great, Carly.
And why don't we have wine in front of us? Oh, you said morning.
Correct.
Is it a bit like when you're a hairdresser and you don't get your hair cut? Like, yeah. You can't drink all day, can you?
Correct.
Okay, so we're sitting here today. It's a beautiful day in the Granite Belt. We're in the Bellandine region on the way to Stanthorpe. Or would you be called Stanthorpe?
We're Severnley. Yeah.
Okay. Oh, it's another spot there.
Yeah, just 6 km south of Stanthorpe.
Yeah, right.
And about 15 km north of Bellandine.
And so how many wineries would be in this
area? Oh, there's over 40 now.
Wow.
Yeah.
Here I was thinking I was visiting one or two.
Yeah, correct.
Well, obviously the best is here right now. We stayed here last night and we stayed in the cabins that you have on site. It's a beautiful property. But let's first take you back to another beautiful region. I grew up in Victoria, Mornington Peninsula. You grew up in the Yarra Valley. So let's talk about
correct.
Martin growing up there and what he learned.
Yeah, I lived in the Yarra Valley area for 20 years and worked on a couple of, when I was studying engineering at uni, I worked on a couple of wineries to help pay the bills, and they'd always said to me, oh, one day I'd love to have a winery. I actually planted 100 vines in a property 3/4 acre at Wanda North in the valley. But left there to go to the Northern Territory before I got the first crop.
So do you think it's something, I mean, this is changing with all these young, funky winemakers that are coming through, but it always seems to be something your generation and mine even, that were like, oh, it's something we do when we retire, which it's so not, is it?
No, there's always something to do. So if you think you're retiring to have an easy life, wrong.
Yeah, I can see that last night when we arrived. So what was it about the Yarra Valley that the winemakers down there, and because I say this to chefs when I interview them, not everybody wants to be a cook, right? So when they're children, they tend to be inspired by their nanas and their mums and just watch them cook in the kitchen. Were you similar with vineyards?
Yeah, I enjoyed the vineyard probably most of all. I loved the just seeing the vines grow and thinning and pruning and tying up and that sort of thing. So that always intrigued me, and it was the living, touching experience that was great.
In nature. Yeah. And because you've got that engineering/science brain, I mean, drinking a glass of wine, you don't realise what goes into it.
No, people are constantly amazed here about, wow, this isn't, you just pick the grapes and make the wine. There's lots of controls and checking and testing. And refining the products.
So. And you're at the mercy of the elements, hey?
Yeah, I have a saying that if you're on the land, there's only one person in charge, and she can be a real bitch.
Mother Earth!
That's the one.
We love her. I use her for everything, every breath that I take. So in reference to Yarra Valley, you became, you went into project management, you had the business corporate side in Brisbane.
Yep.
And then were you coming out to this region, and because you knew the smell and taste of wine, did you discover it? What happened?
I had a project management company, and we were invited to put a proposal to the Department of Education to manage the development of the College of Wine Tourism. We hadn't been to Stanthorpe that was back in 2004. We hadn't been to Stanthorpe as a wine region for probably 8 years before that. We came out to have a look and be a bit more intelligent about what we were proposing.
You were probably like me, that you were going overseas and having wines.
Yeah, something like that.
Branded regions,
yeah,
you know.
Yeah.
And hang on, just talk to me about that wine school, because not every region has that.
No, we were, this region was really lucky. The Queensland Department of Education decided to start a program of trade centres, trade training centres. The Wine College was the first of those, and it was really developed so that the kids in the region could get training, cert 1 to 5, that sort of thing, a degree also. So that was the reason it was developed, so the kids didn't have to move away
was
from
that across
Stanthorpe.
Agriculture?
It was primarily wine tourism.
That's incredibly innovative. How long ago was that?
That was 2004, the proposal went down.
Oh, it's not a farm without a dog.
Correct. This is Angel, a misnomer.
Oh my God, they're just adorable. Hello, gorgeous. I love a podcast dog.
Yeah.
And so you worked on that and then became more, educated on the region.
Yeah, well, what happened when we came out to have a look at the region before we put in our proposal? We only did 4 wineries that weekend, but this winery was the last one we went to.
Yeah.
And drove in, didn't, gate was shut, didn't see the auction sign as we drove in.
Really?
Reversed out, saw the sign the day to pass. Didn't say anything to each other, and 200 metres up the road, we just burst out laughing.
Really? And so passed in at auction.
Fate. So we put an offer in, we won the job, put an offer in, signed the contract. A few weeks later, we had our first project meeting on the college at 12. And signed the contract at 3.
They would have been super impressed that not only are you doing that project, you're on the winery down the road.
Correct.
And so we were talking about Mother Earth being in charge. That was one of those moments of serendipity, wasn't it?
Absolutely.
Wow. Yeah. And for both of you to be on the page as well, it's a property. I always say this about dogs, but a property chooses you, doesn't it?
Yeah.
And so when you got here, what was going on here and who had established the vineyard?
The vineyard was established back in about 97, 98 by a Spanish guy, Asu.
We love Spanish.
Asu, or he was known as Tommy.
Yeah.
Tommy Jimenez. Yeah. He was the first to plant Tempranillo vines, Spanish variety, in Granite Belt. And
there wasn't a lot in Australia back then.
No. Back in 98, there wasn't a lot.
Yeah, correct.
So it's proven to be a fantastic variety for this region. And sort of, I guess, in honour of Tom, we've concentrated on Spanish varieties. So.
And one of my favourites, Albarino.
Yeah, absolutely.
Which is the white version for everybody out there.
Yeah.
So was he, he'd done, a couple of years here? Or how long had he been here?
He'd had the property, then at least 7 years.
So. Yeah, and ready to pass it over? And...
Yeah, his family, he was still in Brisbane. Working, his family had grown up and didn't want to come out to the winery every weekend, so it was time to sell. And
we hear this a bit with wineries, don't we? When the family were passing it down. This region strikes me as very European because you had the Italian influence, the Spanish influence. Is that something you noticed as well when you came?
Yeah, predominantly Italian. Mm-hmm. I used to say to people, if you want to learn Italian, go to the supermarkets on Saturday morning about 7 o'clock. And all the Italian mamas are pushing their trolleys and having a natter. And
is that part of the immigration of sending when they came over? Like, you and I know Melbourne really well from coffee and tailors and what have you, but were they sending them out to farms?
Very much so, yeah. The property, this property had a little one-bedroom cottage that some Italian families lived in whilst they were... saving to buy their own acreage. They subsequently moved, kept the cottage, and sponsored Italian families out.
Love that, and they're all growers, right?
Yeah.
So what sort of produce do we see from those days, other than wine?
Well, there's capsicums, lettuce, tomatoes, all the berries, cherries and apples. No, apples are massive in this region. So
I just had some of the apple juice, it was very good.
Yeah, it's good.
So you mentioned was there only like a cottage here when you arrived?
No, that was on the adjacent block. When we arrived, the old vineyard had been planted. That was Shiraz, Cabernet, bit of Merlot, some Chardonnay, and of course a Tempranillo. There was the owner's house, and so since then we've put our own house in. We've doubled, nearly tripled the size of the vineyard. And added the 12 cabins for accommodation.
Which are really impressive because they're dotted around the property, but they're not invasive. Like, they're just a really subtle addition to the winery.
Yep.
So you're immersed in the winery, which is a really nice way to do the cabins. So you knew the mechanics of wine per se from growing up in the Yarra Valley, and obviously being you probably were a wine drinker as well.
I was.
So how do you then go to that next level and go, you know, from the ground up?
I think, well, in my case, we said that we needed a winemaker, and we employed Peter McGlashan as our winemaker. He's been with us from day one, September 2004.
Oh, fantastic. You must be good people.
Yeah.
And so what was his stock? Where did he come from?
He's a bit of Scottish background, McGlashan, but he's lived in the district. Used to manage pubs and clubs. He moved to Stanthorpe late 90s and used to work on orchards and vineyards and pruning.
So he knew the region from a farming perspective.
Yeah.
And did you guys stay in Brisbane and keep working and come on
the Yeah, road? I sold my project management business about 8 years ago. But we've been here pretty much full time, 24/7 for the last 4 years, and Michelle probably the last 2 years.
And it's a really nice combination. I love seeing a husband and wife work so closely together, because Michelle brings to it her knowledge of tourism and also consulting background.
Yeah.
So let's talk about how that partnership works on the vineyard.
Well, she looks after the accommodation and the front of house staff, and I look after the vineyards and the winemaking.
Yeah, but last night you were in the tasting room.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, so we all step up when there's customers and clients around.
So, yeah, right. And so how many people would you employ here?
Oh, we've got about 14 on the books, which equates to about 8 full-time equivalents.
That's kind of big for this
region,
isn't
it? Yeah, it is.
Now, what I noticed about your wines was, I'd say traditional, you can correct my words, but for me, it's that European traditional agriculture wines, you know, from your Sangiovese to your Albarino. It's the variety that I like to drink. If I'm not drinking that in Australia, so I tend to buy European wines due to my allergies I have some allergies related to histamines. But the other wines that I really like in Australia, and I think we're doing them really well, is your Pet Nats and your orange wines, which they'll change the name of that. We were talking about this yesterday, because when people say orange, they think it's from orange.
Yeah.
But it's actually, skin contact, you know, stalks and all, made in the cuvées.
Yep.
So I guess you're handling like the European style, and then you've got others around you that are doing some funky stuff.
Yeah, we haven't done a Pet Nat. So our concentration is pretty much traditional winemaking.
Yeah.
But Pete is always happy to, and he's always looking to do something different.
Right.
So skin contact, he loves that Albarino, which was our first vintage, called La Nina, after our fifth grandchild, Nina.
Yeah. And the environment that was happening at the time.
Exactly. had some good skin contact that's really showing through. But as I said, we're concentrating on the Spanish varieties.
Yeah.
So our new plantings incorporate more Tempranillo, some Mencia, Graciano, I forget the others.
I really like that. So, because you've got a bull, beautiful sculpture of a bull when you enter the property, which I've taken several photos of, and the colour on the Spanish flag. So there's this real representation of Spain here.
Yep.
You've won Travelling Señorita's heart.
Beautiful.
So do you visit the regions in Spain for inspiration?
Yeah, we've been to Spain 3 or 4 times and done pretty well all of the regions, and Spanish winemaking has changed. Yeah. 10 years ago, they were having a lot of trouble with old barrels.
Mm.
Our last visit, all of the wineries we visited had rows and rows of brand new French oak.
Really? And that's interesting, because we went 10 years ago. I think I was telling you we had a little Spanish restaurant, and so we sent on a bit of a junket over to Rioja, and I just couldn't believe Cune and the vineyards, the money that had gone into the buildings. But then I dug a little deeper and found out that the government had given grants and had really given money to that region to make it look outstanding when you first arrive. So with this region being such a spread out area of 40 vineyards, you are also on the board, or you'd be the chairman, wouldn't you?
President of Granibel Wine Tourism.
You're El Presidente.
That's the one.
Of the vino of this region. So talk to me about where you see the growth in the Granibel and what things you'd like to do, having visited so many vineyard areas around the world.
Yeah. The growth of the vineyards here and the industry in the last 2 years has probably been 15 hectares of new plantings.
Wow.
And predominantly I've only seen one small portion of that is in Shiraz. Everything else is the alternate or emerging varieties.
Yeah.
And that's what I think this region's becoming more and more known for, is those emerging varieties. Your Tanats, Jurifs, Sangiovese, Tempranillo, Saperavi.
Yeah. Actually, just touch on the Saperavi for me, because you had the good knowledge there with the Georgian. We did a podcast yesterday with Glenn up at Bent Road, and you had another story to the Georgian. Just touch on that for me.
Yeah, we first saw Saperavi in 2004. There was a Victorian King Valley exhibitor showing Saperavi as a blend with two other grapes. And we thought, this is just a sensational wine. We visited the King Valley the next year, tasted the Saperavis, decided to plant. Saperavi is the oldest grape. They've traced back 8,000 years to Georgia in Northern Europe. It's what they call a tentura variety, which means the flesh is also red. So you get this big, dense, dark colours, big flavours, spices, licorice, dark chocolate. We were the first to plant it on the Granite Belt, and it's proven to be a really, really good variety.
And you haven't heard of really in Australia?
No, I think there's about 36 growers throughout Australia.
Mm-hmm.
There was a Saperavi conference down in McLaren Vale at Hugh Hamilton Wines 5 years ago, just before COVID. That conference is coming here in September this year to Queensland.
Is that, were you part of that?
Yeah, so we'll invite all the growers, but it's an incredible variety. We're invited together with Ballandine Estate to send our Saperavis to the first World Saperavi Challenge in Tbilisi in Georgia. Our 2014 got bronze. Our 2015 got gold along with Ballandine Estate.
Wow,
so,
that's impressive.
Yeah, so we were thrilled, the home of Saperavi, to take out a gold medal.
And you know, straight away I think about that, because you and I know the Victorian regions. I've just done stories in South Australia and Perth, and Queensland had that, they don't grow wine there, they put mangoes in it. There's all sorts of comments, right? And I probably would have been part of that revolution, evolution you were part of. Coming up here, I'm like, I found the first wine I tasted was the Syrah. The second wine I tasted was the boys had it from Bent Road, had it at Rickshaw. And then straight away I went, hang on a second, this is Queensland wine, what's going on here? And I dug a little deeper to find myself out here. But coming to a winery like this last night, where these are my style of wines, like, yeah, I love a funky wine, I love a Pet Nat, but if you were to lay down a whole lot of wines, it's your varieties that you're talking about now.
Yeah.
So I guess from a branding perspective, if you look at the other regions, is that something you can hang your hat on now and say, this is what we do here?
Yeah, I think so. Our winemaker, Pete McGlashan, and Jim Barnes, who was a winemaker down at Hidden Creek in 2006, developed the Strange Bird Trail.
Oh, that's right, yeah.
Which is the alternative varieties. And that's been so successful. We've had every major wine writer in the country through the region looking at the strange birds.
Where does that go from?
Well, it's within this GI, this geographic.
Okay, so it's, when you say strange bird, would you call Albarino?
Yep, it's got to be less than one. A strange bird under our scheme has got to be less than 1% of the annual national crush.
Okay.
As a variety. It's got to be... and it's got to be grown here on the Granite Belt.
So. Yeah, so, and getting back to somewhere like McLaren Vale, and you're working on the board here, would you see sort of more impressive kind of signs when you come in? What sort of things would you like to see happen?
Yeah, we're still a growing industry.
Yeah.
But we've got a very strong industry, and that's what is most important.
Yes.
The winemakers regularly get together to taste each other's wines and critique them prior to bottling. So it's very, very strong, and I think that's the most important thing. And that's a comment we get most from visitors. You're all so supportive of each other.
If you don't have that, you don't have anything. You know, you can have the biggest brands in the world. You dig a little deeper, particularly as a journalist, and you find out no one's getting along.
Yeah.
That's just not a good story. It's like water for chocolate. When you're cooking, it's got to be love, right? And I think I've already noticed that you're all talking to each other and getting along, which makes me feel like there's love in the vines. So that's impressive, because you know yourself, it's not hard for one wine grower to get pissed off another one and whatever. I've found here already that you're all talking with each other. And that event that we had last Thursday at the ASTW, the City Winery, I was a bit out of context, because you had Adam there, who I'd done a podcast with a few years ago, when he was opening up the City Winery in Brisbane, which is an incredible story. And then he was walking around with that cloud of wine. So I started running after him and found out that he's got Dear Vincent and he's bought the local pub. And things like that are only going to help the region.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Excuse me. And new entries into the industry is great. New fresh blood.
Yeah.
And they bring new adventure with them, and that's what's great.
Yeah, so what's next? I mean, it feels like Ridgeville's kind of got enough accommodation, enough wines growing. You just said you planted some more. What's next for you guys?
Consolidate and...
Good word.
Yeah.
This is a project manager.
Consolidate and back off a bit with the hands-on.
Yeah.
Work less in the business and more on the business.
Yeah.
Michelle developed an idea of probably we're number six now.
Yeah.
Oh, we're doing.
That's all right. Yeah, and?
Just a sec.
Oh, here we go. So keep talking though. I'll follow you.
Just grab that controller.
Yeah, there we go. Yep, keep going.
Please. So she said we really want to do a bit for the locals.
Yeah.
And get them a bit more involved. And... So we've developed what we call our soiree. So it's Friday.
Oh, this is what I heard about.
Yeah, so every second Friday from 4 o'clock till 8 o'clock, we have some live music, we have a food truck, and...
So you're supporting local there.
Yeah, and the visitation is predominantly locals, which is great.
I love that, and a soiree is a good word for you guys. I was talking to... Steph at Jamworks yesterday.
Oh, yeah.
And again, that's collaboration.
Yeah.
You know, like Michelle was going to a meeting there afterwards to talk to those guys, and Steph said, oh, you know, we do the food trucks out there and the food, and why not just go down the road and grab a food truck to come in here? You guys handle the grog and she handles the food.
That's right.
That's a smart way to do a business. And you said it's providing something for locals.
Yeah, and the good thing is it's involving the other local. The food is the musos.
Yeah.
And... So it's sharing the love, which is important.
And you've got the space here to do it.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you guys have been at it here for a couple of decades?
19 years, 20 in September.
Right. So. And do you, I guess, can you walk away from the property and go travelling, or have you got your...
We have. We had 4 weeks in Europe June last year.
It's important because it's part of your R&D.
Exactly right. Yeah. We saw a bit of the Tuscany... countryside and wine. So
I'm sure when you guys go travelling, you get even more inspired. And so what do I find Martin drinking on a Friday night?
Ooh, if it's a white, I'm a sad case for Chardonnay.
That's not sad. No. I tasted your Chardonnay last night, and it wasn't that oak barrel punch that I usually get, which actually I do get allergies from. So just to let you know, I didn't from yours last night. I have this trial and error for me of regions. My Victorian wines give me allergies straight away, and it's to do with pollen that I'm allergic to. Yours last night didn't do that.
Beautiful.
Yeah.
That's a very common comment.
And that's because it's an organic, not with the brand organic, but organically grown, low intervention.
Yeah, pretty much. All of our wines now are vegan friendly.
Right.
So we don't use egg whites or... powdered milk for fining,
mm-hmm.
and that's made a difference as well. But if it's not Chardonnay, it's the Albarino.
Nice.
And in terms of reds, I'm a sucker for Tempranillo and Sapphire.
Beautiful, so,
yeah.
Well, you guys are making one of the best Tempranillos, so that's a really...
Thank you.
And having the bull there makes so much sense.
Absolutely.
And just before we finish, you've got the Spanish flag. We've got an orange thing going here. And is that just colours for you guys?
Just colours for us.
Yeah, I noticed that up the road as well. Like Jamworks had a really nice black and red, and then Bent Road had a black and red, and I just thought it was so nice to see the colour amongst
strong colours.
Yeah, it's a strong wine region, and I'm very impressed by it. So thank you so much for hosting us last night. We had a great night's sleep, and you know what I love waking up to? The sound of a cow mooing.
Excellent.
Because when you live in the city or you live on the coast, you don't hear that.
No, you don't.
Yeah, so thanks, and I can't wait to hear more about the soirees and what you and Michelle are going to do into the future.
Fabulous.
Adios, amigos.
Thank you.